Warning, you are about to enter a world populated by the most appalling music ever made. Welcome to the search for the worst album of all time. This is Broken Records.
But I'd been forgotten, I'd been married a long time ago.
Same thing, girl.
A girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
You're beautiful.
Hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star.
Hello, welcome to episode number 25 of Broken Records, the search for the worst album, and in this instance, this case, the worst people in the history of music. My name is Stephen Hill. I'm joined as ever by Renfrey Deadman. This is a part of the Riot Act podcast network, and me and Renfrey do our weekly show, don't we, Renfrey?
Every Friday.
Do you want to tell people what that is? Because I always say it.
It's a weekly review show about alternative music, and we review all the latest, newest releases on there. And we tend to look into music that is a little bit interesting, a little bit left to centre, a little bit quirky, a little bit interesting. I said interesting already. There we go.
Double interesting is fine to me.
Double
We also used to end the show by doing this, Broken Records. This was a segment that we did on the show that we decided to turn into a full-blown podcast in its own right. So what you're about to listen to came out on the 28th of August 2020 on episode 108 of Riot Act, which was a really, really good week for music. I mean, 2020 was a really good year for music. We spoke about Clitdrip and Ulva and Narrowheads and Brotherhood of the Lake, bands that, you know, I really, really like. And unfortunately, I mean, this is probably one of the reasons why we did turn it into his own podcast, is that that great week of music was tied in with, I think, one of the most nasty conversations that we've had to have. And it was about Blood on the Dance Floor and their album Bad Blood, which is what we're about to throw to in a minute. This was hard work, this one. And it wasn't just hard work because I don't like the music. Everything surrounding this band is
unpleasant. That's putting it mildly, to be honest.
Yeah, morally reprehensible is what I usually say and what I would say here. So this ain't no fun, this one, to be honest. We sort of tried to do this thinking it would be like, ha-ha, let's laugh at some inept music. You can laugh at how inept the music is on this, but also there's some other stuff going on which is quite shocking. So I just thought we'd caveat this episode with that. But here it is. This is us chatting about Blood on the Dance Floor. We're going to end the show with Broken Records. We've not really been looking forward to this, have we, Renfrey? Because this is. I mean, we joke about how this is a sort of a horrible feature, and usually it's a horrible feature because you have to watch silly music videos or listen to egomaniacal idiots and bad ideas. But sometimes shit is really broken away from the record, and that's what we're gonna have to kind of dissect today. We're talking about Blood on the Dance Floor, their album Bad Blood. It was released on the 3rd of September 2013. It's their sixth studio album. They were an electro pop crunkcore band led by a gentleman called Davey Vanity. You may remember these guys. If you don't, they formed in Orlando, Florida in 2006. Initially started as a joke band, by all accounts. Not really much has changed there, to be honest. Their Wikipedia page, I have to be honest with you, is a little bit of a mess. And I really can't be looking, absolute mess. And I can't be looking into Reddit and other dark web forums to find out about how they really progressed. So what I will say is they were banned in 2006. They self-released a load of stuff. Crunkcore was happening. They got bigger. I paid no attention to this fucking pile of wank genre, as I discussed last week. And then my first sort of, when I first came to contact with Blood on the Dance Floor was on the old Metal Hammer podcast. I believe it was Gil, which would have been kind of late 2011, early 2012, kind of brought them up. Saying you've got to hear this because they look like Cradle of Filth, but they sound like Justin Bieber. And that was the moment that I first became aware of Blood on the Dance Floor. There was a little bit of hype surrounding them at this point. Quite a fair bit of hype, actually, in fact. I mean,
a disturbing amount of hype.
Even in Metal Hammer. I mean,
were they?
Well, I mean, it got mentioned on the podcast, and I think there might have been chat.
Yeah.
There might have been chat about do they cover them in the mag or blah, 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 blah. And it's like, what kind of weird decade did we just exit from, mate?
Mm.
The early 10s were fucking weird on reflection.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been a real thing that happened and blew up big.
Yeah, thank fuck it.
But actually, it may be due to the stories that surfaced around the time of the band and their Warped Tour appearance in 2012 that paid to that. When I became aware of some fairly grim shit that was being linked with Davey Vanity, which continues to be linked to him to this very day. I have a mate who is a photographer, and he was asked by the band to go and take photographs of them when they played, I believe it was a Slam Dunk or a Warped Tour. I think it was the Warped Tour at Ali Pali, that he was asked to go and photograph them for the day. And he came back from that gig regaling me with some very, very disturbing information, which even today I think would be considered libelous. And so I can't tell you what that information is. But if you ever meet me in person, I will tell you that story, and I'll tell you one about 1 minute silence as well, if you like. But the mud, I think in this case very rightly, stuck to the band. They were removed from Spotify and Google Play in 2019. Not quite sure why it took them that long to do it on the basis of whatever. Yeah. If they were going to do it. From the merch site Big Cartel in 2018, ditto, not sure why it took them that long. And the ultimate humiliation, Renfrey. In 2014, they were removed from a Combi Christ tour. Imagine being thought you're not allowed to tour with Combi Christ. But all that was the future. In the present that we were talking about, this release was their sixth studio album. In 2013, off of the back of some allegations and some pretty sizable rumours that they were going to break up as well, which you would think would probably be why that happened. There's not a lot of critical writing or reviews, or unless they've been taken down.
I feel like some of them probably have been taken down.
But from what we've found, there's not much, even in the way of like bad review for this record at all. Sputnik Music gave it 3.5 out of 5, saying, while previous releases all revolved around crass sexual gimmicks and all the pseudo-creative ways to talk about how they would go about said carnal adventures, Bad Blood overall tones it down to a lower dosage. While there are still some sexual themes littered throughout certain tracks, the album more often relies on oddly fitting religious imagery that can be unexpectedly poignant, especially... especially for a band I don't know, especially for a band whose entire career was almost entirely carved off of vapid surface level lyricism. All Music has given it a 2.5 out of 5, saying rounding out the album are more outward looking moments like the vampire electronic love ballad Always and Forever, plus the pissed off political commentary of Behemoth, where the line "Are we too broke to pay attention?" floats like a real revelatory talking point, bobbing in a sea of hot topics from the mall. And ripped pantyhose punditry that borrows from Churchill, this tyranny ruled by fear, drowning in irony, that's the line. All that said, it's the insider stuff that will give, I don't know what, SGTC, don't know what that is, set their, will give the SGTC set their biggest thrill. And with so much of it surrounded by the usual tween angst manor haters, Bad Blood is better than before, or at least bolder. And there aren't really any proper reviews that aren't kind of customers or fan sites sticking up for them. There's one review on rateyourmusic.com from Opus 84. From 2018.
Sorry, it says, mate, just to interrupt you, the SGTC is basically the crew for fans of the band Blood on the Dance Floor. It stands for Slash Gash Terror Crew. Gives you an idea of what a bunch of fucking cunts these pricks are.
Yeah, so we're all learning something today. Opus 84 in 2018 reviewed it, saying, unlike their earlier stuff, this is actually listenable.
Is it actually
unlistenable? Oh, at least back in the day, it was funny, but this has nothing here. It's edgy. That's all.
I'd love to know when this is funny. I mean, what an embarrassing fucking thing to say. To say that something like this was ever funny. Should be fucking ashamed of yourself, whoever wrote that.
I mean, so again, really, you kind of look at the lack of critical mauling, which would be one of the reasons why these albums get into Broken Records. Let's not forget, right? I think it's definitely worth saying, Renfrew and I have not decided what records to pick that we hate to go in here. We have compiled a list from people that we asked on Twitter and our social channels, and just a, you know, Metacritic, various lists from over the years from different magazines,
aggregate sites,
like, you know, Q's list of the worst albums ever, you know, the kind of infamous records.
Yeah,
we have compiled this list through that, and this album came up. Why is it here? And I guess it must be the controversy. I mean, we'll have to talk about that in a minute. I think it's worth, like, just musically alone for a second. It's fucking rubbish.
Terrible.
It's terrible, right? This is a this is a rubbish record. Mm. The first song on the song Unchained, it says, I'm on top of the food chain and I'm on the hunt for some poontang. Actually, I was listening on YouTube and I was looking at the comments, and somebody said, I love how much you can connect to every single one of their songs. It makes me feel amazing to scream out my emotions with the music. Thanks, Blood on the Dance Floor. I love you. I mean, if your emotions need to be screamed out, I'm on top of the food chain and I'm on the hunt for some poontang. What kind of life are you leading?
I can do worse than that from exactly the same song. You've tried to say you're sorry for the things you've done. Try to play me like a fool, but I know I am not one. Try to entrap me with your lies and accusations. Fuck you, bitch. I'm the freak of the nation. Here's a bag of dicks. No one gives a shit. Go and run your mouth off. Take a knife to your clit. If you're talking garbage, making me my name tarnished, put my rep in bondage. Rip it up like carnage.
Wow.
I mean, given the things that have, given the sheer amount of allegations that have come out about this guy, have you mentioned that there's an FBI investigation into him at the moment?
I was going to save that as the kind of the good news at the end.
Yes. Okay.
But yes.
But I just to bring that up now, that, like, you know, lies and accusations. Well, there's an awful lot of shit around you. That, so, you know, and there's no smoke without fire, and I mean, I don't know, if there are people who are falsely accused of stuff all the time. We've talked about stuff with, like, Trent Reznor and Maynard James Keenan and so on and so forth. When you get multiple allegations again and again and again and again, then you really start having to go, okay, something ain't right here. Like, very, 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 very clearly something ain't right here. There is a big difference. We talked a lot in the past about how there isn't much nuance or subtlety on the internet. But this is a case where it's like, I'm prepared to sit down and go, yeah, this guy is a fucking wrong'un.
I mean, I don't usually, and I hope I never have to resort to kind of, I think the whole thing about Twitter and the internet and, you know, the kind of tittle tattle that exists on there. And I'm sorry if people find that offensive, an idea that I would call that shit tittle tattle, but I'm afraid, you know, a lot of it is, you know, a lot of it is. But like I say, I have a friend who I've known for 15 years who spent a day with this guy and came back going, if I had a daughter, I wouldn't let my daughter within 20 miles of this guy. And he regaled enough stuff back to me and had no reason to do that. You know, this was not whilst these sort of things were happening. He just came back and went, fucking hell, I've seen somebody today who I just think is horrible. And that for me is like, okay, well, he's not going to make that up. And it was too real sounding for me to be like, I was just like, well, there's no reason why he'd just come back and go, oh, I think I'm gonna fuck over this band who or tell me about it, like what, you know, and what was I going to do? There's nothing I could do about it.
Yeah, 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 exactly. I kind of feel
he told me, and he was like, I feel so. So I mean, for every intent and purpose, like, these bang to fucking rights.
Yeah, you know? And I think that sort of tittle-tattle thing that you're talking about on the internet, I mean, fingers are pointed and accusations are made all the time these days, and there's always a large kind of, there's always a large contingent calling out for many people to be chastised out of society, who in some cases probably don't deserve that. But in this particular case, this, I think that ire and that chastisement should be reserved for characters like Davey, whatever the fuck his name is, Davey Vanity, not his real name. It should be reserved for the real fucking evil cunts of the of the of the world, rather than, you know, someone who did something.
Went to Eton. I mean, musically, sorry, we should...
Yeah, like, sorry, we should talk
just
about
to get music. Past the album. I mean, it's rubbish. It's rubbish pop music with crap white boy rapping over the top of it, yes, and some truly shite saccharine chorus, and it's awful. I mean, I don't have much more to say about it than that. It's tacky nonsense. There's a song called Fake is the New Trend, which is pretty much every horrible cliche in music rammed into 4 minutes. It's got cheerleader chants, this kind of never-ending story, electro bit, really terrible lyrics about how they're not fakes, delivered in this kind of flowless monotone rap, a breakdown with an old 90s two-step rave beat that speeds everything up, and it's kind of incredible they managed to take the worst of so many genres in one song. But at least it's catchy. I mean, the slow ones here are just, they actually made me feel quite angry.
I was going to say, like, not too long ago, you said that Inglewood was the worst pop song made in the last decade. Are you going to apologise to Fever 333 after listening to this record?
Yes, absolutely I am, yeah.
Because, Divided We Fall, for example, and Always and Forever are just two of the most insipid pieces of shit I've ever heard.
Divided We
life.
Fall sounds like something the Lonely Island would reject for being too ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, there's a song called Damaged, which is just self-pitying wank, and the chorus is, I fucked it up again, I opened the wound, I killed our true love. I mean, shut up and take that fucking 8-bit blippy bollocks with you. And there's a song on it called Crucified by Your Lies. Now, this is where it gets really weird. He's like, just like Jesus Christ, I will pray for your salvation. And so he's comparing himself to Jesus, but then in the same song, he goes, you better get your fucking facts straight. Just like Jesus did on the cross. Remember on the cross?
Yeah.
When Jesus was on the cross and he was like, you fucking cunts, let me down. Whoa, I haven't done anything. Yeah. Just like Jesus would have done.
But it just goes to show how much thought is actually put into these lyrics. I mean, absolutely fuck all. Absolutely none. I don't think someone who can write a line about like putting a knife to someone's clitoris can actually honestly be thinking about what they're writing in any kind of depth. It's desperately trying to be provocative, and because of the desperation that you're using to be provocative, it just comes across as desperate and mm-hmm. and disgusting and perverted and weird. And I mean, this is what happens when people put artists on a pedestal. When people put someone on a pedestal who has absolutely no fucking talent whatsoever, and they think that they can get away with this sort of shit. And unfortunately, there were a lot of publications who were letting them get away. We get really fucking pissed off about the Rock Sounds. I mean, we said it last week, but we get pissed off about the Rock Sounds and so on and so forth of this world, because back around that time, they were talking about these bands and they were saying that, you know, you should listen to this or that or whatever, and this is a new exciting scene, crunkcore. And it's just, again, it's just embarrassing. And we bring them up now to make it very fucking clear what an absolute fucking waste of space they are. Some people might argue, why are you even talking them about them at all? Well, if you dust things under the carpet and don't talk about them, I think in a way that could be even worse. You have to acknowledge that there are nasty people out there and there are bad people out there, and this is the sort of thing that they do. Otherwise, they get away with it far more silently. But the fact that that was not happening anywhere near enough as it should have been many, many, I mean, years and years and years ago, this should have been happening. And you just don't see it. You don't see people going, this is fucking abhorrent.
Well, I mean, I think if they got brought up now, you probably would do.
Oh, but, you probably would now. But yeah. I think instead people have chosen to take stuff down rather than and pretend it didn't exist. And I think that's as dangerous, if not more dangerous, in a weird way. Pretending that this stuff doesn't exist and trying to swipe it under the carpet. I think you actually have to confront it and go and very, very vocally say, no, this is not acceptable. Rather than pretending it never existed.
I mean, going back to the album just quickly, like, I mean, the most of it ends with all the slow shit, the sort of self-pitying nonsense. It's 54 minutes long. I mean, actually, the last song, Revenge Will Have Its Day, is the best song on the album too. It's not saying much, but it's got this kind of 80s synth thing, which is sort of fairly tastefully done musically, although, again, the lyrics are just like... But like you say, it's everything that surrounds this album and this band that makes it so much more dislikable. I mean,
I'm actually
before
gonna
we get into before, the super... Go on.
Sorry, before you jump into that, I'm actually going to confess that I, for the first time, didn't get the whole way through A Broken Record. Not strictly because the music was so awful. I mean, to give the Broken Side record, in a musical sense, is actually worse than this, if we're being totally mm-hmm. honest, because at least this has a couple of vaguely interesting ideas and emphasis on vaguely. But I started reading all the sort of accusation stuff, which we're going to get into, unfortunately, in a moment. And it just made me feel so fucking sick that I just went, I don't want to fucking listen to this. I'm not going to do it.
I mean, there's the look for the start, which is something we haven't talked about yet. I mean, I think the fact that they look like these kind of cosplay Marilyn Manson manga fucks and sounded how they did was sort of shocking, still shocking to the rock community. That kind of scene thing, people probably still expected them to be like, you know, black metal or industrial or something like that. And the whole scene look, I guess, was taken to the most kind of revolting excesses when you look at them. It's kind of basically weird that we're used to this now, isn't it? It's like, this is what rappers look like now.
Yeah,
rappers look like this now. You go, oh yeah, you know, that's what rappers look like. They look like fucking mental people.
I think it's weird
to be the sort of, you know, the what rock, you know, new metal. It's all from new metal, really, isn't it?
I think it's weird and disturbing that people are taking that as an influence when you consider like what has happened. I almost think this is why it should be talked about, you know, like
I mean, but really, I'm pretty sure why it's in here is, or why it was been, it got flagged up so much, is the horrible sexual assault claims. Like, they are the problem here. It is the remorselessness that you would, like you
pursue.
Say, I'm going, you don't, you know, what better way to make myself look innocent of the sexual assault claims that I'm being accused of than say I'm going to cut someone's clitoris off?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I just, they kind of, like, I thought they disappeared pretty fucking quickly after this, but apparently they released another million songs.
They have 13 and then they only split albums. Up.
Yeah.
They have 13 albums, which they released over 11 years. I mean, that just goes to show how defunct this is of any kind of creativity whatsoever. I'm sure that the Davey Vanity would argue that he's just, you know, an incredibly prolific, incredible songwriter, but no, it's because the music that's on these albums are the sort of thing that you can paste together in GarageBand in about 2 hours, probably. It's just moronic. Bullshit. It's fucking shit.
I was going to say then he split up last year, but by this point he was the only member of the band left, which should tell you quite a lot. He now goes by the name of Kawaii Monster.
Yeah.
So he's just sort of given up the ghost. He hasn't really split up. I think it's probably a good idea for him to have changed his name. You know, he's trying to reinvent himself. He's trying to get away from these allegations that continue to follow him around. But
which is another reason why it's important to bring him up and explain.
Flag him up, yes. Yeah. He is currently being investigated by the FBI, mm-hmm. and TV journalist Chris Hansen has said he has interviewed multiple people that have claimed to have either been attacked or raped by Davey Vanity, aka Kawaii Monster. So,
and he's making a documentary, isn't he?
And he's making a documentary about him at the moment to kind of to show that. So, I mean, it's a pretty. Let's hope that, you know, this guy gets some sort of comeuppance for whatever he has done. Again, we don't really know exactly what it is that he's exactly done. I feel like I know a little bit of stuff and I really don't like it. It's a pretty horrible end to a pretty horrible story where, for once, as bad as the music is sort of taking a little bit of a backseat. Although we sort of shouldn't really let that happen because Uncle Cracker, we reviewed his album. He was number one for a long time. He beat up a woman in the, you know, the aftermath of that record coming out. People's moral compasses and what they I mean, there will be people who listen to us probably that may go, well, D.D. King was a junkie. You know, that's morally reprehensible to be using illegal drugs to the point where you're decimating your body.
You're only hurting yourself. You're not hurting other people.
We've spoke. Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, you know, this is not me saying that.
Remember, No. I'm telling those people why they're wrong.
Yes. Fair enough. You could look at, you know, I know there are people in the hat, like the Bloodhound Gang, who have been arrested for desecrating the Russian flag, which people, there are people who would think that's absolutely revolting. I mean, there's Queen and Paul Rodgers in here. I mean, obviously it was not Freddie Mercury, but Freddie Mercury was a homosexual. And if you are somebody who believes in the Bible, you might think that that is morally reprehensible. I mean, again, fucking hell, like, if you do think that, then dudes, what the fuck is wrong with you? But those people exist, and so I think, you know, we had this conversation before we started recording, because you did feel really, really uncomfortable about talking about this guy.
Yeah, I did. It is a really, really weird one. In a sense, we are giving a platform, and we have got to the size now with this show, you know, thanks to you absolutely wonderful, lovely listeners who we're very, very appreciative for, where we do really have to consider this sort of thing. You know, we do really have to talk about, like, do we actually want to talk about these people? And from the 20, 30 minute conversation that we had before we even started recording today, I realized that actually it is important to bring these kind of monsters up, because whilst it's not comfortable and whilst no one enjoys talking about it, if you do brush them under the carpet and pretend they don't exist and try to just make them go away, that means that they either continue to get away with what they're getting away with, or other people come up in their place. And I think it is important to at least, when it's something as heinous and awful as this, I mean, you know you can find, there's a Huffington Post article which is titled "Davey Vanity Raped a Child, Police Gave Him a Warning, Now 21 Women Accuse Him of Sexual Assault." If you really want to read it up, you can look at that, and it goes into quite horrendous detail, if you know. And I would totally understand why one wouldn't want to. But I do actually think it's important to acknowledge that these things exist and to shout about it and go, this is not acceptable. Otherwise, people will continue to do it. You know, people will continue to get away with this kind of shit. So, yeah, it's a very difficult issue. It's certainly not a black and white thing. I would kind of understand if people did have a, you know, if people did sort of say to us, you know, should you even be talking about them at all?
Let me just address that straight away. I think I've kind of already made my point. Where do you cut that off?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. Where does that cut off point happen? I mean, I think the reason we're talking about it as much as anything, because it is, you know, about the album. Blood on the Dance Floor and Davey Vanity decided to address these concerns about what these allegations were in this record. It's part of the context of that record. It exists as part of the record. It was happening at the time. You could say to me, well, look, you know, they searched Gene Simmons' house for child pornography and you review Kiss. And it's like, well, yeah, but, you know, the Kiss album doesn't mention that. Like, Destroyer has got nothing to do with that contextually, right? You can say, like, I don't want to listen to Kiss anymore because, but, you know, I mean, for me, I think that's, you know, like, I don't know where you cut that shit off. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. You have to be like, you have to start from a place of non-bias. You have to start from a place of objectivity. And I think that is where I started with this review. It was very hard to start there because I already had personal previous information that that super clouded how I felt about this dude. But I do think I did sort of say to myself, well, you know, there would be people listening who say you shouldn't cover Lou Reed because he was a heroin addict. We're meant to be judges. You know, you're meant to start from an objective place. And as difficult as it is to do that with a band like Blood on the Dance Floor, you have to, I'm sorry, you just have to try. And I think that's what makes you a more kind of evolved person, personally.
Mind you,
maybe I'm wrong.
Despite all that, still a fucking dreadful record. Whether the guy is an absolutely fucking horrible paedophilic piece of shit or not, it's still fucking awful.
Oh, it's fucking awful. It's rubbish. I think it's slightly better than, I mean, I would put it fourth. I think Uncle Cracker, Methods of Mayhem, and Broken Side have, you know, even Tales of London. And I think with the kind of added context, it's pretty disgusting. That I didn't know about that line about cutting somebody's clitoris off. That's made me think that maybe it should be second. I mean, what a day for fucking crunkcore if they occupy spaces one and two. Surely the worst genre of music in history.
Yeah. We sort of discussed this before, but like, he seems like such a fucking whore for fame. I almost feel like he would be proud to be number two. I almost feel like he'd be proud to be on this league table. Like, I mean, the fact that he is willing to even address these accusations, which look like they're probably true, you know, from a lot of the you know, there's so much stuff around it now, it looks quite likely. It just sort of suggests to me that he just wants attention. He doesn't give a fuck if it's good or bad, which kind of makes me want to hide him away around three or four.
Yeah, I mean, totally speaking musically, I think Towers of London is better than it. I think Methods of Mayhem, Uncle Cracker, and Broken Side are worse. I would probably just put this fourth.
Let's put him fourth.
Okay. There you go. Blood on the Dance Floor. Let us never speak about this band ever again. Ever again. What a shame that we've had to... What was supposed to be a kind of fun little feature where we go, some music that you think is bad is not actually that bad. And then some you find it, you think it's actually fucking worse. Let's hope. I pray to God we don't pick fucking... If I pick a Tiller out now... thank fucking God for that. It's something... Thank fucking God. I've never listened to this before, but I hear it is quite the ride, Renfrew, quite the trip. Angelic to the Core by Corey Feldman.
Oh, okay.
Next week.
Okay.
So thank God, which feels like coming up for air after like just a really, really horrible, horrible run of records. I'm sure we can find something to at least giggle about with Corey Feldman.
Oh, good. Yeah, absolutely. And we can, a good excuse to rewatch Stand By Me as well. Yes, please.
And I actually watched Lost Boys the other day. It was really good.
Still need to watch it.
You idiot. You idiot. It was on telly the other day. You and my girl, she'd never watched it before. She was like, this is brilliant. Why have I never watched this before? I was like, I don't know. You're a fool. You and Renfrew, you're fools. Anyway, next week, Corey Feldman, Angelic to the Core, will be going into Broken Records. All right, and there you have it. I mean, those are the facts of the matter.
Blood on the Dance Floor's Bad Blood goes into the list of broken records. It was not a very nice conversation. I mean, I guess the more people that forget that that thing was even a thing, the better, really. So maybe we're complicit in bringing up something pretty horrible, but I think we're kind of saying this is fucking horrible. So that would be my defense for that. Corey Feldman is going to be going in next in episode 26. That is available for you to go and listen to right now. We should probably just get out of this episode as quickly as possible. It's not a nice place to be. No. Go listen to us on Riot Act every Friday, where we will review some of the best new music that is released in the world of all things alternative. And as I said, patreon.com/RiotActPodcast is where you can find all of our exclusive and nice content. So thanks very much for listening. Head over to episode 26 right now.